You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is in the building. Shout out to the brethren. My man Jay Moore, what's happening, man?
You know, it's another week, another day, and another dollar. You know,
I heard that. You get to that paper, so I ain't mad at you.
Look, you better get a while here to get it.
I heard that.
Because they're going to find a way to get it from you.
100%. So keep getting that bag, brother.
You see the price of these groceries.
I do. Cornish hen is going up. My man, longevity, how are you, sir?
Doing all right.
You know, it's not going over raisins. You can get raisins for a good price.
Can you? I would know, but I know people that do know.
Okay. Yeah, doing all right.
Are your Cornish hens going up?
I don't buy Cornish hens.
You don't?
I don't know.
Where are you buying Cornish hens?
Saying about me. I just was asking.
I don't know anybody that buys Cornish hens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know where to get a Cornish hen.
No. Never had one?
Sounds like an English name.
I've never had one.
Sounds like a what?
I don't know.
Sounds like an English name.
It sounds like it's from Berkshire. Cornish hens.
Fair enough. My man DJ J did. What's happening, man?
Terry Tyson. What's happening?
Oh, man. Happy belated birthday, my brother.
Appreciate it.
Hope everything was well.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Good times. Good vibrations. Good vibes, as we talked about last week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
All about the vibes.
Those birthdays start to hit a little different when you get into your 40s, don't they?
Different.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Things hurt. every birthday, something else hurts.
It's always a new hurt, ain't it?
Leading up to it, it's always something new. All right, this hurts now. Got to wake up and start stretching every day.
Yeah.
Type-ish.
You ever got out the bed and just hear everything crack?
Or just got off the couch.
Just got off the couch. Good point.
Yeah, snap, crackle, pop.
Hell, even getting out the car, you might hear a couple pops.
All that.
Look, there's...
You know, you get up and do that, oh, man.
Man.
You know, because you get up sometimes and you're like, okay... You know, it looks like you walk with a limp and it's just everything's got to warm up a little bit.
Yeah, everything has to warm up.
Check engine light be on.
Yeah. But, yeah.
And bless my friends' hearts who want me to, come on, man, MC, let's go out and run a little bit, play ball. I said, man, listen, I love basketball. Y'all know that. I said, but if we play ball, I have two conditions. It's indoor. It's half court. Oh, I need three. And I need to be able to stretch for like 20 minutes.
And I ain't running.
And I'm not running.
There's no fast break at all. It's just slow breaks.
If y'all playing full court, forget about it. I'm not guarding nobody.
Stay on the perimeter.
I'm going to get killed because I'm not guarding nobody. Mm. I'm not going to get back on defense. I can still shoot, but that's it.
Well, just say no.
Bro, the 15 minutes of stretching, the 20 minutes of stretching is a requirement. I'm not about to tear. Let me knock on something. I'm not about to tear anything, bro. I'm not. Just to go out and hoop? Come on, man.
Don't plan on it, at least.
Yeah, I'm not about to plan. I'm not planning on it. So, yes, I'm going to need 20 minutes to stretch, and hopefully we can do half court. Let's play pig or something, horse. I'm with that.
Yeah, all right.
Unless you're playing metronome.
Now, that's a little triggering, because metronome.
Still, this is a... Hey. Are we on 10 years yet?
No, it's not that long. It's not that long.
This was seven.
Oh, he beat him.
This is the Red Bull.
About 7 years ago, at least.
Yeah,
give or take. This is pre-COVID.
This is how you can. Well, a lot of things are pre-COVID.
You're right.
This is how you can date it. Because I remember Tyler Creator Flower Boy had just came in around that time.
Is that around that time? See, the thing
is, I remember riding there listening to it.
He chose to play me after I had been standing on my feet all day. And emceeing the court, like doing all the events, walking around, all that. He's like, yeah, you want to play now? I'm like, yeah, I'm on like five for my energy, but let's go ahead and give it a shot. And then he got me. So, shout out to DJ Metronome. So, let's talk about Schoolboy Q.
Who just released
Blue Lips, his album. I don't know if everybody heard it or not. I got a chance to run through it. Lone was talking about how the records are a little short.
Yeah.
He put some effort into this mug, though. It sounded good. Yeah, some heat.
From what I heard, it sounded good. It's just the records are a little short.
Yeah, but there's a post on his Instagram page where he really talks about how well he was rapping and how he really had his album done. It's probably been done for years, is what he said. And he went to talking about the algorithm and how he fits into the circus of today's music. Mm-hmm. And which I actually agree with, because it, at this point, it's about a circus and the algorithm. But there's a long paragraph. I'm going to try to read some of this because, you know, the way he quotes everything and does the capitalization, y'all forget being
throwing him off.
Man, they throwing me off like crazy. But we're going to get through it, though. And y'all count every time I, you know, pause.
Do your best.
You can do it.
But he said, it's early, but this is how I'm feeling today. It could change. I mean, bro, y'all never heard me rap like this. Album been done for years, to be real. I just didn't know where it would fit in this circus and just BS and the algorithm. So I made my bed, chose art. I'm too good to let my talent go to waste over a viral moment. I'm 37, still hungry. Honestly, I don't think nobody can F with me, to be real. I always find new pockets, and I've been nervous before, but never scared. I'm one of them ones, which he actually is, easy. See, I made this album for artists thinking people don't want dope-ish anymore. Stayed away from the interviews on purpose coming into this album and just kept it music. I got interviews lined up now to go more in depth, but yeah, ignore the circus because it's getting weird. Music needs to be music. Music needs effort. Blue Lips.
Okay.
I agree with everything he said. I like the vibe that he's in. We said vibe last week. But it sounds like he actually cares about the product, and he's not getting caught into anything other than the product at his age. To that, y'all say what?
I kind of think he's always been in that, personally, from like his albums that Rap. Have been released in the past.
Rap.
And this doesn't sound too far from anything else that he's already dropped, in my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. It kind of fits the Schoolboy Q vibe. I mean, it should, because it's Schoolboy Q.
Yeah.
Talon's point, it is short. I was listening to it, and then all of a sudden something else came on, and I wasn't expecting the album to be over.
Right.
Trust is at like damn near 20 tracks, I think.
Right.
Something like that. But it was good to me. It was really good.
No, for sure.
Based on what I heard, and it made me appreciate Schoolboy Q and TDE once again.
No, I think this is a solid effort on his behalf. One of the things that it is a bit jarring when you see the amount of tracks, and then, like I said, it's almost fitting into, I mean, I know he says he's not doing the circus and the weird-ish, but he's almost done an album for this generation and their short attention spans.
Kind of, you know, going with the algorithm that he said he didn't want to go with, that sense.
Yeah. In that sense, which I don't fault him for, because, you know, there's a lot of people who just aren't, they don't want to hear the third verse on anything. Mm-hmm. So I think also we are reaching a certain generation of artists who are going to have to either adjust or just say, you know, forget it. I'm not going this route that seems to be what everyone else is going to do.
Right.
You know, there's certainly a line of demarcation. I don't know what the age or what the age of, you know, or how long someone's been doing it to where they've got to figure out, okay, either I'm just going to go ahead and do, for lack of a better term, I know y'all get tired of us talking about Killer Mike, but do what Killer Mike did,
right,
and just create the best rap album possible, you know, spend his own money, put it up, and just say, okay, marketplace, this is what it is. Come get it if you want it. If you don't get it, then that's honestly your problem, not mine. So I think that's where a lot of artists are. You know, you are, especially when you're used to selling something. You know, I bought the which without that Man of the Year, because I just love that record.
Blank Face.
Yeah. I bought that CD. You know, so that's how long Schoolboy Q has been doing this, to where he was actually able to sell things in the store.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I think there are a lot of artists who have to adjust to the fact that, like, okay, we don't even sell anything anymore. You know, I saw it's an old quote, and I've been seeing it's an artist, James Blake or something James or Blake. I can't remember, and I feel bad.
Blake is an artist.
No.
And he said, you know, they won because they have conditioned people to thinking they should get music for free.
Yeah.
And essentially that is what has happened. You know, as long as you are paying a subscription, whether it be through Amazon, you know, Spotify, Tidal, you know, whatever comes out on Friday, you get it all. There's no sitting in, at least with iTunes at one point, or even through Amazon had an apparatus where I would buy the MP3s of a song. It would save me a step from, you know, buying the CD and then ripping whatever it was to my phone. Now none of the music even lives on my phone. It all lives in the cloud or on a streaming service. And that's an adjustment, you know, because think about somebody that said, oh, Rihanna's not, why ain't she never come out with an album? Because last time Rihanna put out an album, people went to the store and bought it.
And she stayed pregnant, too.
So. Well, I mean.
True.
Hey.
True.
You know, but that's I think that's one of the things for a lot of artists. It's like, why am I going to rush and put out this music for free? I mean, I know it's not for free because there's a, you know, there's a equation with the streaming and this, that, and the third, but still.
And Riri a billionaire, too.
That's true. She's got enough going on. That was just somebody I was using it as an example. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, like, okay, let's say an older artist. Like, I don't know if Lionel Richie's interested in putting out another album. I mean, he's a legacy artist. But, like, can you imagine telling Lionel Richie, okay, you're going to put out an album and no one's going to buy it?
You got to tell that to Smokey, because Smokey going to hit you with them isms.
He going to hit you with what? Them isms.
But, yeah. You know, just like any artist, like it's...
Orgasms.
You know, you went to, you know, you're used to, okay, millions of people going out to physically buy your album. And now you're telling me I'm going to put out an album and, you know, for every 1,500 people who stream a certain song, that counts as one sale. It's hard to sell that psychologically. To certain artists, you know, so I can see where this would mess with somebody like Schoolboy Q, who at one point has actually, just think about it. I bought Kendrick's first three albums. The last one I didn't buy.
Yeah.
It's not like maybe it came out in the store somewhere and there's a physical, but yeah. Like when it came out, I wanted to listen to it as soon as it hit at midnight and I didn't have to go to the store and get it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a different mentality. Some artists have never sold a record. They just have, they've signed in the streaming area. They've never sold a single solitary record, and they're stars. And it doesn't make sense to somebody who was an artist 15, 20, maybe even 10 years ago. So, I mean, I can see where he's coming from, where like this can be confusing. I can see being angry at it, but you know, if you're an artist, you just gotta do what you gotta do.
What you think about the last line, long, where he said it's getting weird. Music needs music. Music needs effort. What do you think about that?
To be honest, I don't really have a lot to say on this. I mean, he just said that he wanted to put something out his way, and he did. So he did. That's kind of the end to me. I don't know. But to your guys' point, when I listened to it, it didn't seem like that because everything was super short. Everything was very cut off. I couldn't get into the flow of listening to it like a lot of other people could. Right when it was like picking up, it was like it stopped and then it would jump into something else. And I listened to it just on regular YouTube with ads. So an ad would literally jump on and start every minute and a half. So it was just kind of like, it was annoying.
It was kind of jarring to even try to listen to the project.
I couldn't even like really listen to it. So, but from what I liked, I liked. So I think when it comes down to it from an artist perspective, if he's doing what he wants to be doing, cool. Yeah. I think that's the way it should be. You know what I mean? But what was the last line again?
Well, he said, because he spoke about the circus, the music industry being a circus in the algorithm era. But he said, it's getting weird out here. I'm paraphrasing, but he says, it's getting weird out here. Music needs music. Music needs effort.
What does music needs music mean?
I guess you can take it however you want to take it. Music, because to me, this is all based off.
Maybe he's probably speaking on the musicality of
yes
everything that's coming out. Kind of like, remember the whole, the argument that Sookie had with the streamer chick when she called her a musician.
A magician.
Yeah. I ain't no magician. I ain't no musician. This, that, right. Another.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of these people don't see themselves as musicians because they're not musicians at the end of the day.
True.
But they are putting out music. I think that's probably what he's speaking on, that music needs to get back to the feel of when you hear something, it's music.
Music needs effort.
And that I can agree with. I think that would be awesome. I mean,
it's never going back, though.
Yeah, I think it's too far gone. Yeah, I think
Well, I mean,
gone.
Maybe from like the. I think it's too far gone in the sense that there will always be the outliers.
Shout out to Drake.
You know, but in general, at the same time, it's not like music has stopped. You know, it's just.
No, it hasn't.
It's just been a competition with the algorithm.
Let me take that back, because the too far gone could be.
So far gone.
Shout out to Drake.
Yeah, shout out to Drake. That could be looked at on the mainstream, where you can say mainstream is out of there. But there's still plenty of artists that are putting forth what we would call quote unquote effort and making dope
absolutely
music. So that's not going to go away.
But the mainstream has been gone for decades. In it's my been opinion. Gone. I mean, so it's just a different way to commercialize, you know, something that happens to be musical. You know, if
gotcha.
If the music industry could sign plants. yeah. you know, and plants could talk, they would do that. It doesn't matter.
Don't give anybody any ideas.
I know. I know, right? I'm just saying, but like,
AI, I'll have it up next week.
But I'm just saying, like, it, the music, I don't really look at this from a music industry lens in that aspect, but I can feel what he's saying, you know, like, and I agree with him. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm like disagreeing with him, but he's just saying what I agree with. So,
I mean, he's part of TDE though. Historically, they don't really put out half-assed projects.
True.
Right.
So to speak. And that's with every artist that comes out, whether you like them or not, there always seems to be some effort put into their release.
Higher quality.
Yeah, whether that be J-Rock, whether it be Schoolboy Q, SZA.
Yep.
Absol.
Man. I know a lot of people don't get Absol, but his albums have substance.
True.
And there's structure to it.
Sir.
Yeah, sir. Definitely. I think he got something dropping on the 22nd of this month.
Mm. Yeah.
Shout out to them, man. Shout out to Schoolboy.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, if I'm going to be truthfully honest with this, I couldn't get into the flow of the music, man. I know I already said that, but I couldn't get into the flow of it because it just wasn't long enough. It was just like a bunch of snippets to me.
And I can dig that angle because a couple of the songs that I was really digging and went off and then moved on to the next song. I mean, I still dug the next song too, but I was still kind of wanting more.
Yeah, I liked everything that I heard, really, but it was just like, it just sounded just like it was just a snippet. Like, it was like a minute and a half, 2 minutes of a song that you could have, that could have been a 4 minute song. You know, that could have been a really rich musical experience for somebody, and it was just kind of like it just stopped and got cut off. But
I'm looking at the official track list here, 18 records, and I see, to Lone's point, I see some of the times, like the last record is a minute and 12. There's one that's a minute and 54. Couple that are, there's multiple under 3 minutes, 238. 257, 220. So,
but also to your like, point, but also I like all of his records too. They it's not like they were jumping into it. It was like they were building up. So like the record wouldn't start for a while.
Right.
So it just felt like it was even shorter. So I don't know. That's just my perspective, man. I still liked it. So
yeah, I can dig that. That would probably be my only qualm though.
Yeah, me too.
I felt the vibe of it.
Yeah,
it was solid.
Yeah.
I was happy to get some from him.
There's a Gibbs feature on there.
Yeah.
Where he took a shot at Academics. That was
funny. He did.
There's always room for
Sounded like an Alchemist beat on there, too. I could be wrong, but
I got to go through the credits.
I'm actually looking at him now, and Alchemist is on here.
Yeah, I heard the Alchemist joint. At least one of them.
Yeah, and like you said, man, TDE got a high standard, we'll say.
High power.
Yeah, they usually drop good products. So shout out to him, man, if that's how you feel. You know, what album is it? I need to see.
Like fifth or sixth?
Sixth, I think.
Setbacks. Yeah, this is number six. Because Setbacks was 2011. To Jay Moore's point about buying stuff on CD, he's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't seen like a Blank Face tour live.
2016 is when that came out. And then Crash Talk 2019.
I'd say Crash Talk might be the only one that wasn't that great.
Yeah.
Everything else was fire.
No, the boy got heat. So shout out to him. All right, man, let's go ahead and keep it moving along. Keep it moving. What album was that?
I have no idea.
One of them ones.
Oh, okay.
So here's a clip of Slim Thug basically talking about how he's not being obligated to help people who are, it's quote unquote, lazy.
Okay.
Take a listen, and then we'll discuss.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man. I'm trying to get them on there. We all artists, man. We gonna have this like
Bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I ain't gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
You what I had to stay up and work for while you was in the bed sleep. Like, no, I don't feel sorry for you. No, you decided to place yourself wherever you want to be in this world, and you got to live with that, and you and God deal with that. If I just feel nice and I want to just bless you, okay, cool, I will, but I don't feel no type of obligation to give nobody nothing who ain't putting in that work like me, and that's around the board. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel sorry for nobody who ain't putting in that work like me. If you ain't in that with me putting in that work, I don't feel sorry for you. Wherever you land in this world, you had the chance to work hard. You didn't. So you live where you live. You live like you live, and that's what your life is, because you thought losing was cool. Hell no, I don't want to give you what I had to stay.
Thought losing was cool.
So you thought losing. I laughed at that right here, too. Jay, what you think about that, man? Just from a, you know, a creative standpoint, if you have success and, you know, you get blessed and things go your way, you know, how much of the wealth should you share? Who's deserving of what? Because the way he sounds, if you wasn't shooting in the gym, you might not get blessed.
You know, I don't have it like Slim Thug.
Right.
But, you know, I do feel him from a certain point of, you know, but I'm in a position to, you know, put people on and in certain ways. And I don't ever really try to put people in position to win who haven't put in the work. Or who, when I do give them an opportunity, they show up late, or they do something stupid, or they become entitled. The opportunities that people have are, you know, you can't. Someone asked specifically one time, is like, oh, will you put Brother to the Night on?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I can't put Brother to the Night on. He had to be prepared when I had an opportunity for him.
True.
And because he was prepared. And I had an opportunity. That's not putting somebody on. Putting somebody on. See, we kind of have the language messed up. We think putting somebody on is grabbing them off the street and giving them a job that they really don't even deserve.
Right.
Okay. You know, I can't. If you are capable, and there's something where I'd be like, okay, I can help you out with this, and you know, maybe use your skill set.
Yeah.
And then in turn it generates some money for you and maybe some other opportunities for you.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's something we can all work with. But if you just standing around hoping it's going to happen for you. And the thing is, like, sometimes you do. I will say this. Sometimes you have a messed up attitude. I know I'm guilty of this, because you see how hard you work, especially on days when you don't. There have been days I don't feel like going to work.
Right.
You know, or because I work at this point several jobs. I work 7 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any days off. You know, people like to say, oh, yeah, no days off. We move and we grind and whatever. No, like there are people who will see me one place and be like, didn't I just see you here? Didn't I just see you here? And then, you know, sometimes there'll be people to come in and just want something. And I feel a level of resentment to it. And I was like, that shouldn't be how in my spirit and how I was raised.
Right.
You know, especially if somebody's less fortunate. But I'm like, dog, how are you going to come in here every day begging? The effort you put into begging, you could have helped, you know, you could have done something for yourself. So sometimes there's a bit of resentment towards people who just want something because they want it, as opposed to wanting to work for it. But, and you know, this is, I'm just, let me hear myself. This sounds very Republican. but I, you know, I feel it was like, look, if you have, like I said, if you have a skill set, if you're prepared when someone calls you to do something, then you never know. You can create so many opportunities for yourself. But if you're just looking to get on because you think, hey, man, I'm me.
Right.
No, it doesn't work like that. It does. You know, and the thing is, like, dude, nobody's coming to save you. I'm just going to say it like this. And this is especially if I'm talking to men right now.
Mm-hmm.
OK, if you are a man, nobody is coming to save you. So you better get it together. You better figure out what you're good at. Find out a way to make money with that and be of use not only to yourself, but to other people, to where maybe they can put you in a position to win because of your dedication and your talent.
Yeah, pick yourself up by the bootstraps, man. Do that.
Well, that's actually real, though. At the end of the day, that's really. I was going to ask you, Long, but if you want to stop at bootstraps, that's fine.
That'll be a nice place to edit.
Yeah, you know, good cut right there. But
no, I think
because you're in a position too. Like we all are, whatever, however you want to look at it. But Long, you're in a position where you can, you know, bless people with opportunities to do certain things based on what you do. So you can definitely speak on this as well.
I mean, more so in the past, I think, but
you got experience in it.
Yeah. I think you kept saying when preparations, and what's that? The quote,
preparation meets opportunity.
Meets opportunity.
It's a quote from Seneca where it says when luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth to that, you know, like, I agree with what Slim Thug is saying. I respect that, and I understand what he's saying. No, you know, nobody's going to get a handout just simply because you're there or you know somebody, or I'm not going to give you something if I don't know you or anything like that. Or if you're not putting in the work, why do you deserve it over somebody else? You know, at the end of the day, you know, somebody who is showing that they are doing their due diligence and trying to get on, then I think there's more merit there. But at the other idea, he mentioned something along the lines of, you know, you get out and you have to do it. I don't know what he said exactly, but it was suggesting that meritocracy is real. Mm-hmm. And it was suggesting that as long as you work, you're going to be able to get your thing. That's all you have to do is work. And yeah. I think the fact that we have a lot of people that typically do, that are out here and that are, I wouldn't even say begging, but just like wanting to be seen, wanting to have those opportunities. I think that kind of showcases enough that that isn't really the case a lot of times. And so I think a lot of times people are looking for an opportunity, looking for a break, you know, probably not looking for a handout, but looking for the opportunity. And I think the advice there is just keep doing you and keep grinding and keep adapting, constantly adapting to what you're doing. And like Jay said, put yourself in Brother to the Night. Sure. When he first mentioned his name to you. Yeah. Okay. I know of the guy, you know, yeah. Obviously he's been on our show a lot, but
yeah,
but it's different than when he's been out here showing up to events and you guys talk to each other, you guys created a relationship and then an opportunity arises, then he can be like, all right, cool. I can put you in this spot because you are ready. You are available to do all the things, to represent all the things that I need you to represent, you know, in this situation. And that goes across the board with everything. You know what I mean? You know, and relationships are important in that manner. So if you have a relationship with people, or you have relationships with people, those relationships typically go a longer way than just yelling at the wall. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it's just what it is. So that's my only thing. Only pushback I would give back on that. I don't even really think it's super relative, but it's just that, you know, just because you work hard doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get anything. And I think that's the lie that we need to stop telling people.
Well, yeah. I mean, cause kind of even out what I said in my first statement, cause you know, on a few shows ago, I said, look, nobody works harder in the United States of America than poor people.
Right. Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You see people who work those 40, 50, 60 hours, you know, and they're toiling away at jobs a lot of times that do not allow them sometimes to pursue their dream because they're just doing, they got to do so much just to maintain their basic living expenses, you know, and it's under the guise of, hey, we can just think about the idea of minimum wage. Like minimum wage is almost like society saying, okay, how little can we pay you so you don't come in here and think about beating up your boss, you know, and people literally living, being paid. I'm not going to say minimum wage because like if you're somewhere where they're only paying $7.50, you need to get out of there.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. Even when you're paying $11 and $12 an hour, depending on where you live, that's not enough to really maintain a lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Most places,
especially yeah. if you're talking about larger metropolitan areas.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, those people are also working hard. Like, and sometimes we have this thing in America where we look down on people just because they're poor and you don't have an idea of how hard they work, you know, despite the fact that they don't have what you would are just the accoutrement, if you will, of a successful life. So, I want to balance out kind of what I said with that statement as well, because I can't act like I don't know that life as well.
For sure.
In fact, I'm still on the verge of living and being a part of that life. But I also know, you know, sitting around complaining and playing video games and smoking weed all day is not going to get me any closer to being out of that life.
Yeah. Yeah, people got to match the energy in that aspect if they want to come along board. It's just kind of what it is.
Nah, for sure. You know what you think, Terry? I know you've been in positions like that as well.
Yeah. And, I'll probably speak from Slim Thug's angle mm-hmm. since everybody else has touched on everything else. But I mean, to me, it sounds like he's speaking to people that he grew up with that thinks he's in a position mm-hmm. to just
put everybody
hand
on.
You over something. You know what yeah. I'm saying? If you ain't out here helping hunting, then you can't eat with me, essentially, I think is what he's saying.
I do, too.
And mm-hmm. in that sense, yeah, I dig it because it's almost like people are waiting for you to get on. It's like the Money Mitch's uncle.
Money making Mitch. High roller, come to visit.
Paying full.
Yeah.
It's like how you look like you shining. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're waiting on me to give you something
yeah, right.
so that you can be like me, but I'm the one to put in all the work. So why would I just hand this over to you, essentially? And that doesn't make sense. Everybody should, even if I am in a position to put you on, you have to be able to play your part, essentially.
you have to be part of the team. So what are you going to do in order to earn your keep, so to speak, rather than me just handing you over some money and then it's not a value to you? It's kind of like the analogy that Jay-Z said when his family member asking for like $5,000 for a business venture. We know Jay-Z has $5,000, but if I just give you this $5,000, then what does that mean? Because you know that doesn't mean anything to me. So as soon as you jack off this $5,000, you're ready to come back and get another $5,000 because you're trying to view the money how I'm viewing it.
Right.
And it's nothing to me, but it's something to you. So if you f it up, then you can't come back to me like, well, I need another one because that venture didn't work out. And
that play didn't go all the way out.
So what makes you think that I believe this next one's going to work out? I think Logic had the same conversation with his dad.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, I seen an episode where he was talking to his dad about his dad asking him to buy a house. He goes, well, if I buy you a house, excuse me, then I have all these brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
I gotta buy them houses too.
You know, he got all this money, he got millions of dollars, but he don't want to help nobody. He don't want to buy nobody a house. Well, hold up, let's just step back real quick. There was a time when you came to me, asked me for $850,000 to buy you a house studio for you and your band. I've also had my sister ask me to buy her a house. I've had my brothers ask me to give them money. I've given tens of thousands of dollars to my brothers and my sisters, and I've seen them piss it away.
What about my mom? I got to buy her a house, too. Like, I can't just buy you a house just because you think I'm worth all of this money, which I am. But I can't just give it to you and not give it to everybody else.
Right.
Everybody has to work and pretty much pay their fare.
Because then what if I give you the house and you don't pay the HOA or you don't pay the taxes on it? And then you're coming to me like, oh, my water's about to get cut off. Mm-hmm. You know, they got my internet bill. Like, it never stops.
Right. No, it never stops.
You know, and there are certain people you do that for, you know. But at the same time, you know.
Yeah, like the people, your immediate family, your spouses, your kids, to a certain extent. Because, I mean, your kids have to get to a point where they have to understand that I have to get out here and get it too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not responsible. At the end of the day, you're not responsible for anybody but yourself and your spouse once the kids get to a certain age. I mean, I don't believe in the mantra of kicking your kids out on the street.
Right.
But they do or should have to provide or be part of the, you know what I'm saying? The team.
The collective, yeah.
Yeah, the team in order to make the ship run.
Especially if you're like 25.
No, I think this is one of those good conversations that I hope,
hope
actually, you know, people listen to and they don't turn off as soon as I start saying, if you don't work hard, you don't get even that's partially true.
It's
true because of how our society is set up. I think the thing that I have a problem with that in general is just that, yes, we should all have to work, but we all do work. I think it's just the fact that we have to work so much harder and we're promised this light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. And that light does not exist.
It never
exists. Loser, too. So when you think of loser, I don't necessarily think of somebody that's working hard and just not making enough.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of a loser, I think of somebody that I'm content with this couch, that plastic chair, a nightstand and my video games, a sack of weed and McDonald's. Loser behavior.
I'm perfectly fine with just doing the bare minimum.
And
I'm
hoping somebody's going to come save me.
Right.
And provide to me more income so I can still do the bare minimum with what I have, but just look better doing it.
It is just like what you said and what Jay Moore said. There's no carriage that rides into the hood and picks you up
anywhere.
And just takes you to There's no carriage that comes into your neighborhood and says, okay, we're going to pick you up and set you up for a whole new life. And you ride off into the sunset. Your concept about the light at the end, that doesn't exist. That's not realistic.
No.
And nothing is going to be given without some form of effort. It's the conversation about the preparation.
We've seen what happened to MC Hammer in real time.
Yeah.
Trying to provide for everybody. And mind you, he's still in a position that he's well off for himself.
No, he's straight.
Everybody else caught him broke. He's broke because he can't take care of you anymore.
Exactly.
But his life is still fine.
Yeah.
By himself. 100%.
And the thing is, like, when you were riding with Hammer, you didn't do what you were supposed to do with the money or create opportunity for yourself.
And that's not Hammer's fault.
And then you're mad at Hammer because he has to pare down. Now he can't take 40 people on stage with him. Maybe he only can take 15. Mm-hmm. So the 25 people he can't take with him anymore are like, oh, Hammer ain't nothing. No, you should have put yourself in position or saved some of the money when y'all was living real high off the hog.
Facts.
Like there's always that story about, like, you know, the people that get taken who literally maybe the carriage does come through. And right. They get taken on tour, they get to meet all these people, they have all these opportunities, and then when the tour is over, they look up and like, all I got is a jacket and, you know, some free stuff we got on tour, and now you're upset at the person that took you and they think they should have done more. And it's like, no, you had a golden opportunity and didn't do anything with it, and now you're back and you got to go work, you know, and be a regular person, which is what a lot of, and there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people, y'all don't want to be regular people.
True.
You know, you don't, there are people who could get a good 9 to 5. You know, everybody wants to be a boss. Everybody, and I'm telling you right now, everybody want to be a boss. Do you realize the boss eats last?
Man.
Yeah.
That's the nasty part.
That's
everybody,
it right there.
Everybody want to be CEO and president of this. And then you realize that you got to pay everybody to make sure, you know, you can keep the train running. And sometimes there's nothing left for you. And so Slim Thug might have come from a situation where he's like, he tried to do for people.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes that's where the bitterness comes from.
No, for sure.
You know, to where, like, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. It's like, I tried to show y'all, like, I, you know, the whole, you know, show you how to fish instead of giving you fish.
Yeah.
You know,
teach a man to fish.
And, you know, it's like, look, I showed y'all how to fish and you still was up here asking me for fish. I'm done.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I really hate this conversation though, because it's putting the onus on the individual.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I understand because everything that everybody's saying is absolutely true, but still at the same time, even if you do work really hard, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to accomplish the things that you're going to accomplish or want to accomplish. And it gets around the idea that it's just this faulty idea that hard work
equals riches.
Equals something right. prosperous. And it's such an indoctrinated type of thing.
Yeah, because essentially,
it's just like, it's not how it is. But here we are saying, like, we're coming like, well, if we can help you if you do these things, but at the same time, maybe I'm not in a position when you get to that point to actually help you because I'm doing something else then. You know, like, I don't know. It's just.
But like, we've been working hard on this particular show for years and years.
We can't put nobody on.
In this aspect of things.
For sure.
But it hasn't, I mean, it's paid off as far as we have listeners like that are listening now, viewing us and things like that. But it hasn't hit that level to where we're satisfied with it.
For sure. Right.
So essentially it would be considered, we're working hard, but it hasn't paid off. So
But we're not
doing anything to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, but to us it's like, I mean, once it happens, and then it'll look like it happened overnight to you. But we know how hard we've been putting in work on this particular situation.
Yeah, it's like when people say, hey, you know, I want to do something like Take That Tuesday. You know how long we went and nobody cared nothing about Take That Tuesday?
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, a lot of work goes into it. And I think that's the bittersweet part of it is like, there's no guarantee if you put a lot of work into it. But you also can never get lucky if you don't put a lot of work into it.
I'm glad you
like,
said that.
That's
because
the piece. It's like it's multifaceted. So it's like,
because the operative word, the word work still has to be applied.
Yeah.
But it's like you said, it's about how you look at it. Like if you don't have a false sense of whatever, there's a fake narrative and or whatever. But the work
loopholes.
Part still has to be done.
There's
to
even
a
loopholes extent. In that though, because how many people have you seen just out of nowhere and they will literally brag to you about how short of time that they've spent on this craft.
This is true.
And made it.
This is true.
It's like, oh, I ain't really did nothing. They brag about it. I ain't did nothing. You know, I ran into such and such and boom, here I am. Like Game even tells a story. And I had been, he wasn't even rapping a year before he got on.
Yeah.
It's like, there's it just always happened to get in somebody, the right person's hand.
Yeah.
And it just went from there.
There's always exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
True. You know what I mean? But you can't base everything off that exception.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You got to look at things like that as being anecdotal. Like, okay. For example, I won an Xbox from Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Okay. Now.
That's why I eat Taco Bell every day now.
But imagine I tell that story. I'm like, oh, instead of someone saying, that's a cool story, they're like, I'm going to eat at Taco Bell every day until I went in Xbox 2.
You could have bought one by exactly. the time you got that money.
You know, like I was going, you know, I was going to buy said Xbox, you know, because the one I had got stolen, but that's another story for another time. but when I won one, but that should inspire you to say, okay, I'm going to spend $10 at Taco Bell every day
until I get an Xbox.
And when you could have just bought, you could have saved the money and bought an Xbox.
Yeah. But then you wouldn't have all the Taco Bell.
Exactly. Well, that too. But,
right. but you still probably won't get the Xbox. That's right. The
that's the thing. Like what I, you know, my, the whole story is like, yes, it's a cool story, but it, like, you don't think that I'm never going to win whatever new Xbox or PlayStation. That's never going to happen to me again. Statistically, yeah. It's just not.
It's not.
It's like the Monopoly game.
Yeah.
You know, a
documentary on that one.
Yeah. So it's like when you see someone who literally gets lucky where something, they do something one time, it happens and they go straight to the moon. You got to understand that's not statistically going to happen to you.
Yeah. It's an anomaly, man. It's anecdotal, like you said, you know, so you got to take it with a grain of salt.
So you still have, you know, if you're one of those people that, you know, because I heard a story recently about, oh, yeah, this is the first beat I ever made. And then it winds up being a hit song. Mm-hmm. And it's like, OK, that with that happened for that guy. It's not going. You hate to say, tell this to people, but it's not going to happen to you.
You talk about a one off.
I know somebody who
that actually happened with Busta Rhymes. Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See.
That was their first beat that they ever made.
Hmm. Yes.
Wow. Was it?
That's crazy. Yes.
You know, but I know somebody whose family won the lottery when I was in college. You know, like she went from, you know, having, when she went home for Thanksgiving, whatever, went from having to sleep on the couch to, you know, being able to have a nice place on Lakeshore Drive. Mm. But that did not make me say, damn, I need to go start playing the lottery.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
Because statistically, that just will never happen to you.
Yeah. Capitalism, probably.
Yeah, that too.
Perhaps. Show me the money.
Well, I think Terry's point is the one where he said it sounded like he's addressing some people some that might have been around there. Yeah. Now that I think about what you said, yeah, that's a very good
point.
It's
not the same. I mean, and I always give props to LeBron, no matter, he didn't just give anybody jobs.
Yes.
They had to literally learn how to do something,
mm-hmm.
and then he paid them to do their job, and they do their job well.
True.
And unfortunately, everybody's situation doesn't happen like that, where you have somebody that's very talented with money in their hands that was able to provide for you to at least learn something to benefit yourself and benefit me. True. And now we're all rich.
Lone, can we shout out our partners?
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Let's more audio I want to pull up. Let's talk about Dylon the Dillinger. Now, y'all know who this is because I said the name. I should have said it 5 times because that's usually how it went.
Top five.
Yeah, top five.
Alive.
You know Dylon from Making the Band. We all know. We sure watched the show. I'm not going to cap. I watched it. But there's a video.
That was an important time in pop culture.
Yeah, it was. 100%.
I watched every episode of that show.
I'm not going to cap because I watched it. But Dylon, I want to see if you guys think he has a point or not, because he's talking about DJs turning down his music because of people laughing at him and the Chappelle skit. You remember Chappelle had the skit where he was doing the Dylon? We all know about that.
Because he says spit that hot fire.
He says that actually ended up affecting his career when he would submit music to DJs.
Sam, the top five rappers are Dylon. But this is something that I didn't say at all. But right after, anytime I send my music to DJs, they say, oh, that's the that David Chappelle made fun of. Now I'm good on that. Not only that, but every promoter says, nah, we're not booking him. So now I have a newborn and the fridge is empty. No one is calling me. Everyone is laughing. At that time, no one picked up their phone. Not a one label. That joke took over.
That joke burned your career.
The joke actually burned it.
He sounds like Safari. You know,
no, literally sound just like Safari.
So with that being said, you guys obviously heard. Sound like he was serious to me.
Well, I mean,
you know, like I don't think he was playing around when he said that. But what do you think about that? Could that skit be that impactful for people to not take him serious?
You got to think about the time And he was actually on the Chappelle Show.
No, see, that's the thing. He wasn't.
No, they did. He wasn't in that skit, but they did a Making the Band skit. And he was on the show. All of them were on.
No, no, he was the one who didn't show up. That's why Dave Chappelle played Dylon.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is that what happened?
You are correct. I stand corrected.
The rest of them showed up and actually were a part of the joke.
And we'll see. He probably should have showed up.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
And then he wouldn't be. He wouldn't feel like this.
This is
and it's funny because I actually seen him downtown during Black Expo around the time that this happened. And when he walked past me, I said it five times.
Dylon, 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 and Dylon. Because I spit hot fire. Because
I'm like, was that Dylon? Like, because I was tripping out.
you literally said it five times?
I said it five times. And dude, he got down the street a little bit. He turned around, came back, and dabbed me up and said respect. And went on about his business. So, it's like he almost had to own it. But at the same time, it goes back to this last conversation that we just had.
Say that.
Were you? I'm sorry. It kind of goes back to that last conversation. He should have struck while the iron was hot and kept doing what he was doing because he was still featured on that album and in that group.
True.
So he can't blame anybody else for his kids not eating because he still could have did what he had to do.
You're coming off a whole TV show.
Come on, man.
They've done a skit about you based off you. That was the funniest part.
Yeah.
Clearly, he knew about it because you just had a live example of him knowing the power of that. So he understood.
That's probably why he was here because he wasn't with the band. You have to understand, he has to take it both ways.
Exactly.
So he gained notoriety off of that particular clip, even though he wasn't in it. But everybody knew who Dylon was.
Let me ask you this, Lone. I don't want to change what you were about to say, but is there a certain level of responsibility for the DJs or the said people that were turning the music down? Do we look at them any different for buying into, okay, this is just a funny guy from the Chappelle skit? Should they have just put that to the side and just judged the music for what it was and just took his records and maybe tried to run them? Or, you know, how do you feel about the DJ's part in this?
I would say that nobody really owes you anything.
Well, you got me there.
The fact that he had an audience with them in any capacity is kind of amazing, I guess. But is this radio DJs? Do we know? Is it like?
I don't really think it matters, to be honest with you.
No, it's just
period. Like, just submitting music, period.
It doesn't matter at the end of the day. Did you enjoy? You weren't a DJ. Did you go searching for any of Dylon's music?
No.
Even before he was made an example on a skit?
No.
So that had no bearing on if you were going to listen to it or not.
I respect that.
The only person I cared about of that crew was
Chopper?
Ness.
I fool with Ness.
Ness was dope.
Ness was dope.
But like, the skit is the reason why we know of Dylon.
Ooh.
I mean, let's be real.
The TV show, boys.
On the low, he might be right, though.
I'm talking about, like, to the extent that people would maybe know of Dylon's name right now.
Yeah.
It's not because of Making the Band. It's because of Dave Chappelle's skit, because people went back and watched Dave Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that and Dave Chappelle has never stopped being on Comedy Central or on whatever streaming service. Like, so there are people who still watch that, who never saw Making the Band.
Yeah,
true.
Who had no idea, like, that guy actually was a part of a group that album went gold.
And Dylon is probably the most popular character from Making the Band. I'm about to say Bringing Down the Band.
Shout out to Bringing Down the Band.
Based off of that Chappelle skit. You know what I'm saying? Even though he wasn't in it.
That's what I mean. Like, that actually kind of like propelled him, I think, even higher at the time, because he became a pop culture phenomenon through Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's not blaming it on Diddy. Everybody's blaming everything on Diddy right now, so.
Yeah. This will be a good Diddy. Time to go ahead and blame
didn't
it.
He use him as a scapegoat on this one, so.
What you think about this, Jay, in terms of what he said?
Sometimes you got to strike while the iron is hot, even if it's not the iron that you want to be hot. If I was him, I'd have had T-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, whatever. Just say Dylon, 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 Dylon. And wherever I went, we'd have been slinging those T-shirts for $20 a pop and put some food in the refrigerator.
Yep.
You know,
people would have copped those too.
You know, even if it was for some, people bought Bart Simpson T-shirts and whatever. Like, so whatever is popular, whether it makes sense or not, and whether you'd wear it again.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just want to have it to be part of that moment.
Eat my shorts.
Yeah. So once again, you were on Bad Boy Records. All right.
Yeah.
Whether or not it worked out for you as an artist or a group, like Ness turned that into a whole writing career.
He did.
He also turned into a cheesecake company,
which is brilliant.
You know, so once again, that's not the iron. Maybe he wanted to be hot, but like, if Ness turned it into a cheesecake company, he's able to feed himself and his family based on that. That's what you do.
Babs started a women's hip hop battle league.
Yeah. So she
took it and flipped it.
So I mean, these are just examples of what kind of what we were talking about in the last in the previous segment.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, and you've trying to, you went from having the apparatus that is, I believe, Atlantic, because that's who Bad Boys was with at the time,
mm-hmm.
Having them submit your music to DJs, and they weren't really feeling it then.
Right.
And then you just showing up, be like, hey, can you play this record? It's like, no. And where were you going to get your records played? Maybe you needed to partner with somebody who was up and coming, as opposed to taking it to Funkmaster Flex or whoever was the big DJ that you knew. It's like, no, they're not. They're under no obligation to play your record. Of yeah. course, you're going to think it's hot. Everybody, every artist who makes music, you know, especially when they're trying to work on a commercial level, they think what they do is the hottest thing in the world. And it just isn't. They don't. And we've talked about how there's a whole machine and there's an apparatus to go ahead and make these things happen. And you're yeah. trying to do it independently at that time, where the major label system was still something that was very prevalent. Look, I get it, man. Maybe you're disappointed, but you're back here all these years later complaining about something that you didn't do.
But I still, with all that being said, there is probably merit to what he's saying to some degree.
Might be.
Because he did become that caricature, you know.
Yeah.
He became that, you know, and that's, I don't think I could tell you any of his songs or what they sound like.
I don't know anything other than what he was doing, trying to make the band and
right.
maybe the features. But who's going back even checking for the Making the Band album?
I have the song Bad Boy This, Bad Boy That on my hard drive.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I think I have a CD somewhere, but I mean, I never transferred it over into MP3.
It goes do 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 do.
The album Too Hot for TV.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
I do have that Day 26 in my MP3 file.
That's a good album.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they dropped two projects that was good.
I don't know who that is.
That was R&B. That was on the next. That was on the next section of making.
They actually, but Lone, they actually put out.
Yeah, no, I
put out
Day 26. Actually, shout out to them.
Yeah,
I mean, they just came at the tail end of when I think they're damn near the last group, the R&B group.
Deals was probably trash, but they put out some good music.
Well, I mean, it was a Bad Boy deal. So
you're right.
Historically, those have been trash.
Did he do it or did he not?
I don't know. Did he?
Did he?
Boom, boom.
Well, shout out to Dylon, but
honestly, if he put out that shirt today,
man,
he'd probably be able to sell enough copies to really do something for himself. Because once again, the Dave Chappelle skit has never gone away.
We talked
about Dylon. We're not talking about anybody else in that group. Well,
that's what I'm saying, he's the most popular one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that should have propelled him and put him in position to do something, but he, yeah. you know, he wasn't really, you know, a lot of times you're not ready to receive, you know,
he needs to come with a Nextel chirp.
Sometimes you're not, look, sometimes you're just not ready to receive your blessing when it is presented to you.
He wasn't prepared in the sense his proper preparations weren't
prevented his poor performance.
Yeah, it was the opposite of that.
And
yeah.
without Dave Chappelle, would nobody your story would not be featured on the Breakfast Club.
Nah,
they haven't talked about any of other members on the Breakfast Club, have they?
Ever?
Nope.
No, you made the Breakfast Club, Jack, in 2024, and off of something that happened in 2005,
five-ish. Yeah, yeah, almost so. 20 years ago, and they talking about you right now. So that to Terry's point, that's the power of that skit.
Hey man, you're part of pop culture.
Let's talk about Dame Dash. You know, you know, Dame gonna find a way to pop up. I don't care if it's CEO brand, if it's his, you know, his clothing, if it's Dusko Poppington, he gonna find a way. Art galleries, Dame gonna find a way to stay relevant.
His he got to share them shares or sell them shares of Rockefeller. So,
like, my thing is, he's actually talking about Lior Cohen.
He hates Lior Cohen. So,
he does, but what I'm going to read to you, I want to see if you guys think he has a good point, because he's actually talking about him taking advantage of Young Thug while he's in jail.
Okay.
So, you know, Dame has always been honest. He's always been upfront about Lior. He's never like, dude, they've been beefing, or even if it's not a beef, he's just been roasting him pretty much forever as a vulture. But I'm going to read a couple things that he said as it relates to him and Thug. And then we can kind of go from there. He says the music industry only exists because of toxic behavior. They take advantage of the dysfunction in our culture. For me, I see a kid that's making music about the ish that's going to get him killed because he's really doing it. I don't think I'm putting their records out. I'm not going to enable that child, is what he's saying. This is relation, obviously, to
Young Thug.
Yeah, Thug and the type of music that people are putting out. Then he says, when I look at Young Thug, I'm like, Leora and them just made a bag, a check, and he's going to jail. They made money off his music. So if they made money off that music, he's in jail for that. Then all of that money they made off the music should not go to them. How do they get to get all of that money and he's just sitting in a jail cell?
I mean, he didn't have to make the music if
he didn't, have
he
to
didn't
do
want them to release it.
The but things he is alleged to have done.
But does he have a point
no.
about the type of music that's actually put out?
Yeah, I mean, he probably should have thought about that when he signed that deal. Because if
he's talking about Thug?
Yeah. Okay. Because if he signed that deal and he still decides he wants to put music out, yes, somebody else is benefiting from it. But he's benefiting from it too because he still has to pay attorney fees and things of that nature in order to keep this case ongoing or try to beat the case, essentially. So I don't really see fault with that.
Well, look, I'm going to expand a little bit more. He says, my beef with Leor is because I think he's a fake CEO. And I think he's fronting on my culture, but he can't front on anybody else. I'm calling him out publicly, and I want him to stop trying to rape my culture. Go
but
make some money.
He has historic beef with him, though, because he was working with Lior, and he's upset the way that they was having meetings without him.
So I remember that part. We saw that part.
This is all something that's been transpiring for 20 plus years.
So what you're telling me is this is deeper than Thug. This is just accumulation from everything that's been going on with them over the years.
I mean, he's one of the first people that was using the term culture vulture.
Right.
So I can see him using Lior as the example of that. But you were getting money with this man until you weren't getting money with him. Then it turned into all that. So you should have felt that same way, in my personal opinion.
While you were getting
eating with him. I mean, everybody, if you've seen an interview or seen Lior Cohen talk, he has snaky vibes about him anyway, in my personal opinion.
Sounds like a liar.
Right. But he had personal relationship with this dude.
Yeah.
And he still has animosity, I think, towards him. Is why he feels that way. But, I mean, I could be wrong.
So at the end of this segment here, or this article, it says, this is a 6-minute segment of Damon Dash talking. He says, a culture vulture is someone that exploits the culture that he's not a part of, doesn't benefit the culture, and takes care of his culture, and has no respect for the culture he's exploiting. He added, and that's why Leor is one, because he's been making money off of our culture. He's not a part of it. He's been exploiting it, never helping, teaching, or anything, doing what's in the best interest of his own pocket over the culture. And to add insult to injury, he's not accepted in his own culture. He cannot get no money in his own culture, so he comes to ours, acts like a big cat, pretends we need him when we don't.
So we had people to put batteries in his back, though.
Well,
look, this is the thing. If, as someone who, you know, Leor signs Young Thug to that whole situation, and you rhyme about people who have an authentic experience, but the thing is it your fault that those people are still trying to live out that authentic experience? And then when they get caught and they're stuck in jail, is it your fault that you didn't tell him, hey, rhyme about sunshine and puppy dogs or something else? You know, you signed them because they come from a certain place that you saw that maybe there are people who relate to this. Now, me, I've never been a super big fan of Young Thug's music.
Right.
But clearly it resonated with a certain demographic. There are people who rhyme about the street all the time. Their music is about the street, but it's not in the street. Your music is about the street and it's still in the street. How is that Leor Cohen's fault? Is he supposed to sit you down and say, okay, now make sure you're not associated with these people from the neighborhood who might be doing things that are detrimental to you? Everyone know, you know, to a certain extent, you got to let people have to take personal responsibility, because, you know, it's not like, oh, you didn't know some of these things were wrong. You didn't know there was a certain level of risk here. You know, so I don't see it. He eats off of our culture, this, that, and the third, and our dysfunction. But if there wasn't already dysfunction there, that's not, I'm not going to put that on record companies, you know, because everything about the record, going back to blues, going back to the first bit of recorded music, has always been exploitive.
Well, look, here's the thing, though. I think the conversation,
this is just personal,
from Dame's part is, and you know, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but this one part is the part that sticks out to me, and it relates to the conscience in terms of the person that's the executive. He says, for me, I see a kid that's making music about it's just going to get him killed because he's really doing it. I don't think I'm putting their records out. I'm not going to enable that child. That's a conscious thing. If you say,
if you know that Leo,
do you see what I'm saying?
Exactly. Okay, I know this kid is still in the street. I'm just going to put out his records anyway. I don't care what happens. Okay, but do you think that really Young Thug sat down with Leo Cohen while they're going over the paperwork and they're doing whatever they can to put the music out? He's like, "Yep, I'm still out here involved with people who might be selling dope and killing people."
I mean, at the end of the day, and this is on a record label type of deal because it's a business.
Right.
They got insurance on him anyway. So it doesn't matter what he does, still going to get paid off of it.
That's fair.
But if Dame felt that, you know what I'm saying, passionate about Young Thug's situation, then maybe he should have had a conversation with him before he signed that deal with Lear Cohen and tried to coax him to sign with somebody else if he doesn't want him to work with him.
But what I feel like Dame is saying is, like, don't sign these kids at all. And it's like, okay, you're going to tell you what? Who are you to say who I can and cannot sign based on your personal feelings about me?
Yeah, exactly. Because it benefited you and Jay and Biggs at one point in time. And now since it didn't work out for him, now he's still bitter about it, essentially. And there's a lot of people that don't mess with Liar. But in this particular situation, I got to play devil's advocate and kind of say it's not really Lyra's fault.
Like what I say, if I was a CEO of a company, and you know, when I hear some of these things, would I be like, no, I'm not signing that, you know? But at the same time, when we always say, why does no one want to give these kids opportunity to maybe change their circumstances? But if you give someone an opportunity and they don't change their circumstances, and you know they've made enough money to separate themselves because you know they was out here getting it at one time, that's not the executive's fault. Nah. That's your fault.
Do you all remember the interview where,
I mean, it's capitalism, but
thank you. Do you remember the interview where Leor was on the Breakfast Club and Charlamagne kind of jammed him up when he asked him if his kids listen to the type of music that he puts up, and he starts stuttering and fumbling his language and fumbling his answer?
I think that's the type of guy he is.
But what I'm saying is, I think that's what Dame is speaking to. On one hand,
He's not wrong in that aspect.
So we agree on that. Okay.
But this is a personal vendetta against him.
And the people who run McDonald's don't let their kids eat McDonald's.
Yeah. Multiple things.
You know what I'm saying? The people who run Facebook don't let their kids get on social media.
I'm sure they do.
They probably do.
There's
probably monitored.
No, that's there was I can't remember what executive. It was like, no, I don't let my kids eat your brain. Like, they literally,
that's probably true, actually.
You know, and so.
But make sure you log on.
You know, so, what's that goes back to capitalism. You know, it's like, yeah, what's good for you? I know it's not good for me. So
I'm not a fool.
But
record labels are put in place to make money. I'm not stupid, so I get it. But Dame, to Terry's point, yeah, it might be previous history and, you know, a culmination of a lot of stuff has been going on, but low key, he has a point as it relates to his approach to the culture. I'm 100% with him on that.
But is Dave's point, I wouldn't assign this kid because he's, you know, because I care.
I understand that.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said,
I see where
you're I wouldn't, like, it's a conversation kind of we had about said female rapper from St. Louis. Like I said, I don't want to talk too much about her.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, as much as I'm thinking this is somewhat destructive, I'm glad she, you know, maybe she can change her family's circumstances through this foolishness.
Which I'm sure she has.
And so when you talk about, oh, I wouldn't assign this kid, you know, it goes back to, like, we say, oh, well, why don't people give, you know, these artists opportunities? Okay, we give the artists an opportunity and then they f*** up.
Yeah.
And somehow that's my fault. maybe we should give more resources to social workers and people who work in the community who could touch these, not touch, but you know what I'm saying, but no, who reach out and make yeah. sure that these kids have, they see a different way.
Right,
okay.
Right.
We can have that conversation, but if you're expecting, look, if you're expecting people who run record labels to also want to manage people's lives, then you got another thing coming. All the drug addicts, all the people with serious mental issues who've come through every genre of music since the beginning of time. Yeah. You know, there's always somebody, well, why didn't somebody at the record company do something? That's not their job. And you have a higher expectation for them than you should. These people are here to make sure you get on that stage and
make
you,
that
you,
money.
You keep the content coming and you keep the money churning. Mm-hmm. And once you flame out or whatever, people are like, oh, why didn't they do something? That's not their job.
Your job is just to find somebody else.
You and you, yeah, exactly.
And they will replace you the minute that everything goes south.
You know, so once
that's my point. This is all my point.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so, like, sometimes I think we have a higher expectation for people just because they're rich and they're powerful. We expect them to be somehow better than they are.
Yeah,
and it just isn't that.
No. Yeah, I don't expect record label owners to do any of this stuff because I know they're not going to because it's not in their best interest.
Right,
but the onus of all this, you know, when we talk about from the Dame angle, when Dame says, well, what, you know, the argument that you said about Dame, well, is Dame's perspective, then you shouldn't sign this person because blah, 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 blah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe not. Maybe there's another way to help somebody or in a particular situation than to have them be a part of
a multinational record conglomerate.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe there's another way of that. And there is, but I don't know. I'm just taking it.
He's diverting a whole lot of blame from Young Thug in this situation, too. Especially the quote when he's saying, I'm not going to enable this child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's put the ball back in his court because Young Thug is a grown man.
He's not a child.
He's grown.
He moved as a boss. He ran his label. Oh. He did what he was doing. He did the street stuff on the side too, or I don't know.
Allegedly.
It might have been major, allegedly, like you said. And he's in court for it now.
Yeah.
So he has to approach this as a man, not as a child. He is not facing time in the boys club or juvenile. This is prison time.
True.
And I remember, you know, Kevin Lyles at one point when it was Gunna's situation said, I'll put up the money to bail him out and have him monitored, you know, and, you know, the judge wasn't going for it, you know, whatever. There's a lot of mess going on in Atlanta right now. So, but I'm just saying is like, even when there are people, when they do take an interest, people are like, well, why would you do that? And when they don't take an interest, it's like, well, why would you do that? There's never going to be anybody that's happy with whatever it is that you do as far as these artists are concerned, especially when they've done something or have allegedly done something that has put themselves in a compromising position.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And the thing is, I know what Dame is doing. And I, like I said, I know it's personal when he says, you know, he's not of our culture. I think that's him trying to dig in. I don't know if it's the Jewish angle or the white angle, but it's like, you know, this dude has always been about hip hop.
You knew it. You've known it whole life.
His first, you know, getting into the music game was, you know, throwing concerts with Run DMC, you know? So it's like, okay, to say he's not of our culture. I never like that because it's almost like there are people who say anytime you see somebody who's not black, they are not of our culture. Because the thing is, there are plenty of black people who are really not of our culture. They do the same thing that Lior would do.
That's the best thing I would say that in order to word it correctly would be they may not have the culture in their best interest, but they're a businessman. So in his interest, this is what makes sense, essentially, at the end of the day.
It's about the bottom line.
Yeah.
It goes back to my question from a few days ago. Can you truly be about a culture in capitalism?
You can't. Not when you monetize it in the way that he's presented it.
So then to that point, Dame is absolutely true about Lior.
Well, he's been true about Lior.
He's right.
Yeah.
But at the same token, he's wrong about Lior.
Well,
because
multiple things are true. I'm just talking about that particular
aspect.
Right.
That piece of it.
I agree with that from the beginning.
Yeah.
I agree with that particular situation. But you can't have these talking points about a Young Thug and not hold him responsible or hold his hand to the fire when he's responsible for himself being in this situation.
Yeah, I like your wordplay on the part about the child, because this is a grown ass man making grown ass man decision. So you're right.
I can't remember which, maybe it was Black Rob uh-huh. he had passed away.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, well, Puff Daddy should have done more.
Right.
And it's like, let's get his name is Puff Daddy. He's not your daddy.
Oh.
It's like even when DMX passed away, it was like we gave him a microphone. We gave him a stage. Should we maybe have got him a life coach or counseling?
Yeah.
Maybe that should have been part of it, but that's not a record company's job.
Right. It's not. And depending on who you're talking to, Puff Daddy may have been their daddy, allegedly.
Yeah. Shout out to... No, you know, I'm not even going to say that.
Yeah, leave that shout out alone, bro. Leave that one alone.
You know, it's just too much paperwork out here. I'm not going to get involved in that.
This is not a good time.
I'm just talking at the end of the day.
I feel you. Yeah, leave that paperwork alone, Jay Moore. We ain't going to do that.
No, I'm not. I don't need nobody calling up here. But Dame Dash don't like nobody. He don't like Kevin Lyles. He don't like L.A. and Babyface. See, I guarantee you ask him about any of these people.
He ain't going to like him.
He don't like Steve Stout. He doesn't like anybody.
So it's almost coming from Dame. Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
we're in a situation where anytime that he talks, we kind of know the energy he's about to put forth.
Yeah, and it gets.
But he's not always wrong.
He's not always wrong.
He's more right than he's wrong.
Yeah. Go ahead, Long.
That's just what I was going to say. I was like, sometimes just the messenger isn't the right person to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually doesn't speak anything to the person saying it. It just speaks to us because we.
How we digest it
and everything. Yeah.
Because honestly, I feel the same way about Lyra Cohen overall.
Right.
But just in this situation, I can't take the blame away from Young Thug.
No, it's his fault, and the record labels are going to make money off of it regardless, and they're going to make money off of it. So for Dame to kind of ignore that fact, kind of like, okay, well, I mean, and sure, Lior's doing all these things, but yes, the record company's going to do this to everybody, even the people that are making flower music.
Yeah. And that plays to Terry's argument about the bias. Yeah. You know, because
we
know where it's coming from. Shout out to the chat, man. We really appreciate y'all. Like we said earlier, newoldheads.com for all the education you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe, sign up for it, share it, hit the bell. And remember, on Spotify and iTunes, do us a favor, give us 5 stars and leave your kinfolk a comment or two. We really would appreciate that. That helps us out. I believe that's it. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.